It took just 100 days in 1994 for the Rwandan genocide to exact its bloody toll. Some 800,000 Tutsis and moderate Hutus killed by Hutu militiamen armed with machetes. For some, shelter could be found in a hotel in the capital, Kigali, called the Mille Collines. There, a hotel manager named Paul Rusesabagina hid more than 1,000 Rwandans. His story inspired the new movie Hotel Rwanda by director Terry George. Don Cheadle plays the hotel manager.
There will be no rescue, no intervention force. We can only save ourselves. Many of you know influential people abroad. You must call these people.
Please, fax this to us.
You must tell them what will happen to us.
Yes.
Say goodbye.
Don Cheadle came into our studios to talk about the role. His character, a Hutu married to a Tutsi, survives by his wits and by making deals with the devil. In this case, a lead Hutu militiaman named Rutagunda. Paul Rusesabagina depends on him to supply the hotel with food.
Those were tricky scenes, tonally, because you're personally disgusted by this person. And Paul really had a real hatred for that man. He was really kind of a beast. Even bigger than the man who plays him in the movie. He was
physically bigger.
Physically imposing guy who did control the militia. And you have that feeling about him, but it can't be displayed in front of him because you know your life would be in peril and he could take you out right there. So Paul and I and Terry and I had discussions about how you actually navigate those scenes and still keep this dignity that Paul has, but at the same time know that you got to play ball, you know.
You see the horror and the disgust flash across your face as you're going to his office. They've taken Tutsi women and are raping them, turning them essentially into prostitutes. And you do see that wash over you, but you also get the sense that you know there's a mission you have to do. You have 1,200 people at your hotel who need food, and
exactly.
This is the way you're going to get it.
And, you know, we showed that in the film a couple times when he went to see Rutagunda, but there were many times that Paul left the hotel and he saw many things that we really couldn't depict in the film, I think, and still have it be something that people could even accept and go forward on some sort of journey with he and his family.
Talk about that, about the things that you decided needed to be left out.
Well, it was really Terry's design that this not be a horror show, and it not be something that was really graphic and exploitive so that people could watch it and take it in so it doesn't take on this, you know, such a macabre picture on the screen, but it can exist sort of in people's minds what's happening outside of those walls. Paul said there were times, you know, he was driving into roadblocks that were made out of corpses and, you know, 15, 16-year-old kids sitting on top of them drinking beer, you know, manning the checkpoints. That seems almost unbelievable. You can't. That would be so hard to take in a movie and be able to even get past that image and go on. And that's what I thought the film did so well, was take you through one man's journey with his family and this love story between he and his wife that's wrapped in this thriller, you know. And it does really hit all those same peaks and valleys that a traditional thriller does. You know, there's this impending doom, it's outside the gates, at some point it's going to burst in and it's going to come for everyone.
Is there a danger, do you think, in toning down the level, the atrocities that you were describing, in cushioning that blow a little bit?
I think there's, you know, it cuts both ways. I mean, we're not talking about bones and skeletons, we're talking about piles of bodies, and to do that in a way that appeared accurate as well as fit into the fabric of the movie just seemed like it would have brought onto the screen a whole other element to deal with that the movie really wasn't about. It's about Paul Rusesabagina and his family and their personal story inside the hotel for those 100 days. So I think you do run, some people do have criticized that point, that they're not getting the full impact of what that was, and it was much more horrific than it really was. But that's really what a documentary can take on.
You know, some of the most powerful moments, I think, in the movie come not through what's shown, not through overt acts of violence, but through what's related or told. There's a moment when a woman who's a Red Cross worker is talking to Paul about what she's seen, and she's been among school children, Tutsi school children, who are about to be killed, and she talks about what one of them said just before she was slaughtered. Do you remember that?
Yes,
line?
When she said, "Please don't chop me, I promise I won't be Tutsi anymore." And it's things like that, to me, that are so much worse in the telling than if you try to somehow dramatize that moment. You know, you could really miss and make it be something that comes under the guise of a horror movie or a slasher film and belittle it, really. I think it's more horrible to have those things sort of exist in your mind and imagine what's going on outside those walls.
There's a scene in the movie when a UN peacekeeper, played by Nick Nolte, is sitting with you, and he's getting drunk, and he has very harsh words for you in terms of how the West views you.
"We think you're dirt, Paul." "Who is we?" "The West, all the superpowers, everything you believe in, Paul. They think you're dirt, they think you're done, you're worthless."
"I'm afraid I don't understand what you are saying, sir."
"Oh, come on, Paul. You're the smartest man here. You got them all eating out of your hands. You could own this freaking hotel, except for one thing. You're black."
I was wondering how you, as a black American man, thought about that as you heard those words.
Well, it's kind of hard to deny that that's the feeling from the West. And I think there's a lot of shame, probably, and a lot of guilt. I would hope that people have that for what has been basically done to Africa over, you know, the past 100 years and further back. It's been colonized and pillaged for its natural resources. And, you know, there was no oil in Rwanda. There was no silver. There was no gold. There was no benefit for anyone being involved other than the saving of human lives. So it's a very callous look at it, but it seems to be actually what was the case. And, you know, is it any different now in Darfur? Is it any different now with northern Uganda? I mean, these things continue to happen. And the Western powers via the UN are now in some sort of process trying to determine whether or not they can actually use the word genocide, because that's supposed to trigger all of this international aid and intervention. And so when those kinds of things continue to happen, I think it's hard to not have that perspective.
Don Cheadle, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Actor Don Cheadle stars in the movie Hotel Rwanda. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.